Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and we're here each week on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central. We gather in the backyard to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. Let me see if I can get this music stopped. I must apologize to my listeners tonight. I'm a little under the weather. I seem to be coming down with something, but I'm going to do the best I can. And again, I want to welcome everybody to the backyard. Please settle in your easy chair and pretend that you're under your favorite fruit tree or the beach or wherever you would just gather together with your friends to have a labrish. And for those of our listeners who might not know what a labrish is, I think it's a local Jamaican word. Any Jamaican will know what a labrish is. I don't think I would describe it as a gossip. It's more or less just casual conversation, perhaps about a subject that the participants would have an interest in, or giving some news that perhaps the rest of us don't know. So that's what we're doing this evening. The whole objective of Backyard Labrish is to bring to light some of the interesting things, stories, and people that lived before us, and of course those that are living with us, and hoping that those that are coming behind us will find some useful information that can help them in some way. So we're always very proud. I know most Jamaicans, or perhaps all Jamaicans, are proud of the fact that they were born and raised in Jamaica. And I am very intrigued with history, so I am really blessed to be able to have the time to research and find interesting stories that we can discuss in the backyard. And for those who may come by later on, we welcome you and ask you to share any of the information or the news about where we are and who we are and what we do to the rest of your friends so we can have a larger group in the backyard. So tonight, by the courtesy and hard work of Dr. Joy Lumsden, I hope to enlighten some of our fans that might not know about this intriguing story. And with that said, if you are on the list and got the promotion, I am sure you saw that I made light of it, because most people, I think, or a lot of people, did see that comedy, Trading Places. I thought it was so funny and really loved it, with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, where they changed places, or they were drafted unknowingly into changing places. And the whole experiment was to see if a poor black man from the streets at the time could be as smart in picking stocks for these millionaires as an educated college graduate. So they traded places then. And I came across this very interesting story that I never knew of before about a similar situation, only that it wasn't really a swap, but an experiment. So with that said, I'm going to be reading from several different clips that Dr. Lumsden has put together, or she has links. And for the fans who might want to read it themselves, if you Google Dr. Joy Lumsden, you will come to several sites she has and go to all my pages, which is one link. And for the past 3 weeks, I have been getting information that she collected and has under a link which is marked History Month of 2007. And she had 28 remarkable Jamaicans, and anyone born in Jamaica, regardless of their heritage, are usually regarded as Jamaicans. So although some of them, their parents came from other places, they were always referred to as Jamaicans, which I think got carried down over the ages, and it perhaps is still happening now. So here we go, and I want to welcome the callers on the board, as well as the callers that are listening, the folks listening online. I'm sorry I'm unable to interact with you online. If you would like to call in and join the Labrish, then you will have to dial 718-766-4558. So with that said, I'm going to tell you about Mr. Francis Williams. Now, he happened to be born in 1702, and he was apparently the youngest son of three sons of John and Dorothy Williams, who were free blacks. Now, the interesting thing is that in 1708, this whole family had a special thing done for them. Nobody knows why, from all the material I've read. It doesn't seem like any reason was given. But they were the House of Assembly at the time in Jamaica granted this family of John and Dorothy Williams the privileges of being, regarded, or the status of a white family. It doesn't say why, but to use the exact words, it says they were granted by the House of Assembly the privilege of not being subject to slave evidence in court, a status usually reserved for whites. Now, I want you to remember that as I go on in the story, because, you know, my mind, I always have my little sidebars. I am wondering if they gave them that privilege because of it. It might have been a grand plan anyway. Here's from one of the links that Dr. Lumsden has on her site. Let me start from the beginning here. Now, the family at the time, that was given the rights. They mentioned here that those rights were usually reserved for whites, those who stand highest in the social scale, according to one writer. Now, out of 128 laws that were enacted during that period by private bill during the 18th century by a government that was reluctant to grant privileges to any black people, only four laws of that kind pertained to rights for white men. Now, the first of these private laws was passed into law in 1708 and referred solely to Francis, who was the father, and John Williams, acting on the petition of John Williams. So it sounded like he made the petition for himself. Now, the legislature conceded to him the right to be tried according to the known laws and customs and privileges of an Englishman. Now, when these rights came to John Williams, why? Nobody can find out. They say here it remains obscure. Someone fairly high up in Jamaica must have been taking a special interest in the Williams family. And that interest, in view of the collateral facts, must have been based on something of a note in Williams Sr. Clearly, Williams had attained an importance worthy of special attention for some reason, but not, however, without stirring up a certain amount of rhetoric. Now, in other words, people of the time were not really sure what was going on. I don't know if they ever found out. But according to another historian, he soon after nearly lost his social status. He thus acquired, through having incurred the displeasure of a member of the House of Assembly. In other words, once this happened, the Williams got into a little trouble. The family, they were not as popular. Apparently, they were popular for something, and nobody can find out why. Anyway, all of that is recorded. Now, here comes the twist. There's a whole lot of documentation here, so bear with me. And as I said, I'm under the weather. Not trying to make excuses, but this is so intriguing. Now, during that period, there was a governor who happened to be a duke. In 1716, the Duke of Montague, then governor of the island, proposed an experiment to solve the problem that was being discussed during those times. And the problem was whether a black man could equal a white man if given the same education and opportunity. And he chose, the governor of Montague, chose Francis William, who was a son of this family that got this special privilege, and nobody knew why. Now, apparently this Francis, who was one of three sons, had showed promise. And he, the governor, sent him to England, where he studied at first at a grammar school and afterwards entered the University of Cambridge, where he made considerable progress in mathematics and other branches of science. I'm talking about 1716, folks. Here is this son of a slave going to Cambridge. I don't know if any of our other listeners ever heard of that. I know I have never heard of that. And I'd be curious if anybody on the board want to raise their hands. You hit 1 on the keyboard, and I can see that you're putting up your hands as if you were in school because you want to join the Labrish. So feel free to do so. So now, as I said, he was chosen. And I'm wondering if that was the reason in the first place why they granted them that special privilege. But that's just what's going on in my head. Now, imagine 1716, and this is, he's black. This black man is at the University of Cambridge. And he is showing considerable progress in math and other branches of science. He also excelled in the study of the classics, and it's an essential part of the education of the 18th century. Now, most gentlemen, if they went to college, would have also studied the classics. Now, as a result, he wrote a considerable quantity of Latin poetry in the accepted style of the period, and often addressed these Latin poetry to the governors of Jamaica. Now, having spent several years in England, Williams returned to Jamaica, where the Duke, the same Duke that sent him away, offered to give him a place on the council which advised the governor on his own council. But this offer did not materialize. Under the governor's patronage, he opened a school in Spanish Town, the capital of Jamaica. He taught reading, writing, Latin, and the elements of mathematics. But there is no clear indication of who his pupils were. He trained one of them who was black to take over the school. So clearly he had black pupils, possibly colored and even poorer white citizens of the capital may have ignored William's color and sent their boys to be taught by a Cambridge-educated scholar. Now, it seems that Williams died around 1770. Unfortunately, the teacher he had trained to continue to run his school suffered some form of mental breakdown, and there is no record of the fate of the school. It was, in fact, it was in fact said that this person who he sort of groomed to run the school, because of all that he apparently tried to teach him, they said he got mad. You know, there's no official documentation on that. But these are all other writers that have written about what happened during this period. So I want to give you a little more details about how some of the other people viewed him. Because incidentally, there is documentation, because Dr. Lumsden has several links on her page to other people who have written about him. But I just thought that was quite something, because I had no idea that in 1716, I'm not talking about a colored person, because in those days, if a black person was mixed with a white person, like a white father and a black mother, they would be called colored. And then if they're called black, then they're from two black parents. So he was obviously quite black, if there's such a thing. And he was not only accepted in Cambridge, but he was also an outstanding pupil. So that really, I suppose, proves the point that it didn't matter what the color of the skin was, because, of course, we all know that the parts of the body that we all own, we all have the same organs, and I'm sure they worked the same way. But in this case, it apparently proved the point, at least to the governor. Now, there's several pieces of documentation where people, even though he acquired this education and apparently very well articulated it. There were still talk all over the world at the time that they were still not equal. And as a matter of fact, some writers referred to him as a parrot, you know, how you would teach a parrot to do certain things. But as another writer said, he excelled beyond what he learned in the classroom. So apparently the higher education just opened up different areas of his brain or his mind and caused him to be, you know, quite smart. So he was doing things, I'm sure, that are is implied here that some of the other white students might not have been, you know, as astute as he was. So with that said, I'm going to open up the board to anyone who want to make a comment or make a join the labrish while I regroup here because I need to get something for my throat. So please bear with me for a moment. Am I seeing any hands? All right. Let me open up the board here. I see we have one of our regular fans. And the mic is open to 631-451. Who do I have with me in the backyard? Hello? Oh, sorry.
Island?
Yes, hello? Hello? The mic is giving us a little trouble this evening. Okay. I don't know. We're having a little technical difficulty here. It's a good thing that this is just a casual conversation. Okay. I think I got the mic open. Oops. I don't know what's going on with this mic tonight, but it's not responding. Just a minute. 631-451. We're going to get you open in 1 second. There you go. I think we have it open. Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret. Who do I have with me?
This is Janine from Long Island.
Oh, hi, Janine. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you today? How is Long Island this evening?
Oh, thank God. No rain.
Great. Well, are you in your backyard in your favorite chair?
Oh, yes. Back home, I would be under this big almond tree. And most likely would have some crabs cooking in the back, you know, and the curtain.
Wow. I'm dribbling already.
Yeah, we would gather under the almond tree. And, of course, you know, my brother and my brother-in-law and other friends would go out and they would catch the crabs and bring it in. And in the meantime, we would have the water going to put the crabs in when they bring it.
Wow.
And then we would gather, you know, under the almond tree in the back. My mom had a big almond tree in the back of the yard. And we would all sit there eating crabs, drinking our, you know what, rum punch or beer, red stripe beer, or talking away, labrishing.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes. So you are accustomed to the labrish then?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And would you agree that sometimes there would be new information that other people didn't know about?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. So what do you have to contribute to the labrish of this gentleman today?
I'm telling you, it's puzzling, but I'm wondering if something deeper wasn't into this one. Because
That's what I thought. Because they didn't explain. Anywhere, nobody can find any documentation as to why this family was granted this special privilege.
Yes.
But now I'm wondering if it was a plot.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Something deeper, isn't it? Because why he had three, it was three of them, and he was the one that they chose. Why?
Well, they said it mentioned here that apparently he showed promise. You know, I mean, like from time memorial, you know, you'll have three children and one will perhaps have special talents or, you know, they're all different. So I don't know if they might have known the boys before.
Yes, they were watching him.
And wanting to do this experiment.
Yeah, is he the son of somebody that is not mentioning the name?
Well, that's not what I'm thinking, but, you know, I'm wondering what did they do to warrant this special, you know, being granted this special privilege. I'm sure there were a lot of free blacks there at the time.
Right.
And as there is some documentation on the amount of free blacks that was in Jamaica at that time. Not actually the free blacks, but that during the time he was born, there were about 42,000, you know, black Africans there, people from Africa, whether they, some of them were free blacks, and they don't say how they were, they came there and were free blacks. But the slave population during that time was relatively small. But before he died, or by the time he died, it was in the hundreds of thousands, like 400,000 or something.
Right.
So, you know, there was a big gap in between there in terms of they must have sped up the you know, the delivery of the slaves.
Right.
But I just found it very interesting because I couldn't even wrap my mind around and Dr. Lumsden has pictures or paintings. There were paintings done of him because, you know, he became very famous.
Yes.
But, and he was very dark skin from what we can see.
Yes.
And I can just imagine him being at Cambridge.
Well,
isn't that something?
That must have been a shock for them, too.
Right, I'm sure. I don't know if everybody at the time were in on the fact that it was an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing for sure, regardless of what they thought about him, because there are other writers who talked about his behavior, you know, when he came back to Jamaica, which I'll talk about in a minute.
Right.
However, I am just wondering, you know, it would have been good to get some information of what life was like for him while he was there.
Yeah.
You know, as perhaps the only black person, you know, studying all those subjects.
Yeah, it must have been.
And that's why I'm just encouraging people, now that we have the access to this kind of documentation that will never go away, like the internet, you know, to use it to get a trail, because nobody knows, you know, nobody wrote about his experience there.
Yes.
They wrote about his accomplishments.
Yes.
You know, that he was an excellent student, but not possibly how he lived while he was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the impression that he was supported by this, the Duke of Montague, you
right.
know, because he made the proposal,
mm-hmm.
and then when he wanted to come back to Jamaica, he was offering him a job as one of his advisors.
Yes.
Of course, I'm sure he was, as it mentioned here, it didn't materialize, quite likely because he was outvoted.
Because of his color.
Right, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And there were still people thinking that even though he showed his perhaps how he articulated and learned was superior to some of his peers, although that happened, they still were not convinced.
Right.
Now, this report says, for an example, in 1703, near the year of Francis William's birth, an estimated 45,000 slaves lived in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1778...
Yes, during the 17th century, they had a lot of slaves.
No, between 03 and 78,
mm-hmm.
when he died, that number had grown to 205,000. Over 205,000.
Wow.
So they say here that the status of the Williams family was therefore extraordinary because though the privileged bill system of through the privileged bill system of the Jamaica Assembly, they had gained rights accorded the whites. But it apparently didn't serve them for long because they had like a backlash. You know what I mean?
Yes. So his family, they were slaves.
No. They were free. They were free before they granted. They were free, but because they were black, they didn't have certain privileges like owning property and all of that.
Okay.
Like a white person.
Yes, yes.
But that particular, you know, bill gave them now the status of being just like a white person. There might have been other free blacks that didn't have the same privileges, is my point.
Yes, so whatever it is coming from this man.
Right.
From Bill.
Right.
Wherever the puzzle is, it's coming from Bill.
Well, it's really quite interesting.
Would it be that, I don't know, did Bill have some sort of contact with his mother, or
I was thinking the opposite. Who knows?
And took an interest, you know, to him,
mm-hmm.
in visiting the mother and watching what's going on, and realized that this child was really super smart. You know?
Or it could be that, you know, he was just good at heart. He was just a good human being and wanted to prove his point, you know, who knows.
But
the point I want to make is how, you know, so much of this history of things like that was never ever brought to the people who lived in my period and your period attention. And I wondered if some of the Jamaicans that we know that went to Cambridge, if they knew that in 1716 there was a Jamaican of African descent there.
That's what I would
be curious to know. And I would therefore ask if any of our listeners that come by that might or know someone who graduated from Cambridge, if they would let us know if they were aware of the story.
Or was it hidden?
Well, I don't know. If it was hidden, I suppose Dr. Lubbs and other people wouldn't find it. It's just that it was never, you know, people didn't have access to the internet like we do now.
Right.
And, you know, I suppose if you're a young man or woman and you go off to Cambridge from Jamaica to study, the curriculum perhaps is so, you know, heavy that you don't perhaps go outside of what is needed to research things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, I wouldn't find this if I was just living my life. It's because I'm retired and have taken this on as a passion.
Right.
Why I discovered it,
yes.
Or I would have lived my whole life and didn't know.
And
that is why I'm trying to bring it to more people's attention.
Yeah, if you didn't bring it to us, I wouldn't know. It would be there, and I wouldn't know, because I'm telling you, I really don't do what, you know.
Oh,
what
dear.
We are doing.
Sorry about that. We're having an interruption here. Let me see if I can kill it. I don't know where it's coming from. Hold on. Sorry, listeners. We're having a little technical problem. Oops. I think I lost everybody. Oh, no. Hello?
I'm here.
You're here?
Yes,
I have my board, though. You can still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, dear. Well, I hope that we're still being broadcast because I lost. We're having bad weather all of a sudden, and I lost my you know, the way I communicate with you. So just bear with me here. Let me see if I can bring it back.
Okay, I'm still
but
here.
In the meantime, I think it's a computer problem because I don't even, my computer is just going crazy.
Uh-oh.
But it seems like if you're connected, then I'm apparently still connected through the board.
Yes.
And we're still broadcasting because the platform is not in my state.
I will tell you in a little while. I'm going to try and get in touch with Leigh and see what's up and hold on.
Right. Well, I want to assume that we're still streaming live. And although I don't have a board to see if we're up or what's going on, I'm going to just assume that it's still streaming and ask my listeners to please bear with us because we're having some technical problems. And that you are listening to Backyard Labrish, and we are here each...
Yes, can you hear Margaret?
We're here each week on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and our objective is
Hello?
To celebrate,
Hello?
Enlighten, and
hear us?
And
the board is giving trouble.
Okay, Janine, I'm having you on this. I'm hearing you on my line, too. So I don't really know what's going on, but we'll just keep talking. Hopeful we're still streaming on the air. But I'm trying to dial back in.
Hello?
Just bear with me for a minute.
Hello, Margaret.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, and Leigh, I just got in touch with Leigh. He can hear you too, so I guess they can still hear you, although it's not on the board.
Oh, great. Well, I'm going to be trying to get my switchboard on, and it would help me if both of you would do some sidebar about what we're talking about while I dial back in. Okay?
Okay.
So keep the labrish going. Is Mr. Leigh on?
He's
no, but his mic was not opened.
No,
so, Janine, it's
yes.
got to be you.
Oh, Margaret, you're putting me in a spot that I know nothing of.
Well, you can just make some comment. We're really having some problems here. The weather is bad, and I think that's what is happening to me. And I might have to go and redo this show. And, you know, I have the ability of actually erasing and redoing a show, and that's what I might have to do because I don't know what's going on. I'm broadcasting from Georgia, and we are having a little difficulty with our weather this evening. So I have lost my switchboard, and I am asking my listeners to bear with me. And I think, Janine,
yes.
I have no way of even opening up the mics. So what I think I'm going to have to do is to redo the show because I don't know what's going on. I can't see a thing.
But
board keeps... Beg your pardon?
They just told me that he can still hear you, although you're not seeing his number on the board.
I don't have a board. That's the problem. I do not have the board. Isn't up at all. My computer is sort of blank, and I can't seem to get back to. And I mean, it's not a problem with my computer. You know, it apparently is a problem with my entire area of where I live, or something is happening with the technology. You know, it's one or the two. But if you're still hearing me...
No, but what I'm trying to tell you is that he can too, although...
Right, right. That's what I'm saying, that you both can hear me,
yes.
But I can't see anything, so I don't know what's going on. I can't open and close mics.
No, but if he can hear you and he's not on with you, then that is telling me that other people are hearing you too.
Oh, okay. I got
you. As to who is on the computer, I don't know about that, but the ones on the board can still hear what you're saying.
Oh, great.
Okay,
so let me see if I can regroup and tell you that there, Dr. Lumsden, and I invite, no, it says there's a problem viewing this page. I just can't get back to where I was because there apparently something is down in my area. But anyway, Dr. Lumsden is always looking for additional information.
Right.
Just like I am whenever there's a question or something that relates to an old story or an old event, as I would love to know if anyone who attended Cambridge ever heard of this experiment at the time of 1716, because that's when you actually went to, he was sent to London that year. And just like I remember doing a segment on four students that were graduates of Howard, and they were received in the White House during the presidency of Lay, I can see you now. You remember that segment we did? Just a minute, I'm going to open up your mic. 301-942. Good evening. I can see you now, and you're on the board.
Okay, I just wanted you to know that I'm listening online, and I picked up the phone and called to make you know that I can hear you, so you're still broadcasting.
Oh, thank you so much. And who am I speaking with?
Bessie Jean.
And what city are you, Bessie?
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for bearing with me, because I just got the board back. And I wouldn't be surprised if it goes off again, because we're having terrible weather here for some reason. Nothing is ever terrible, but we're having unusual weather.
But I can still hear you on
online.
Online.
Yes, I see. I'm back on the board, so I can see that I'm online again.
Okay.
But thank you for calling in.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I'll still listen both ways anyway.
Okay, great.
All right.
So back to what I was saying, I remembered doing a segment when we were having History Month last year or the year before, and there were four Jamaican students that were received when Theodore Roosevelt was president. I was always curious to find out if graduates of I know there are a lot of Jamaicans who graduated from Howard.
Yes.
If they ever heard any of that history while they were there or before or after. Because I never knew that before, and I was really pleasantly surprised when I did the research and found that out. And of course, that was also through the courtesy of Dr. Lumsden, excuse me, who has just been a wealth of information for me. And I encourage my listeners to really go by, Google her name, and you'll get to all her pages. And simultaneously, she's working on several different historic things of importance that she's trying to piece together. And on several of her stories, she's asking if anyone has additional information that they can add to, that of course she can verify to be authentic, she would really, really appreciate it. And so would I, especially on this Cambridge deal, because I am just curious to know if anybody ever heard of that, because even the year 1716, I can't even wrap my head around that.
No.
It sounds so long ago.
Yes, it was long before our time.
Well, I should say so. I mean, I represent myself as a senior, but I can't even wrap my mind around that.
And you know something? Looking back and trying to remember, my grandmother, she used to tell us a lot of things. She told us a lot of things, but nothing like what you're telling me.
Well, I'm sure that the average Jamaican wouldn't, you know, they never taught a lot of past history when I was going to school. And I don't know if they're using any of this precious material that has been found. I believe that especially the now generation, can feel a lot of pride in so much of what Jamaicans, people born in Jamaica, of Jamaican parents, whether they were mixed or pure one way or the other, they were all Jamaicans. And so many of them of the past, so many people of the past, both male and female, have gone out in the world, all over the world, and accomplished something very important. You know, last week we did the three females, and that Dr. Cecile Williams, I mean, she never returned to Jamaica, but she contributed so much to Liberia, that as it was called at the time, and I suppose all the third world countries, because of what she lobbied for in terms of helping the children.
Right, right.
So I just, me personally, I had seen the movie Trading Places, and of course it was just comedy.
Right.
But when I came on this, I must tell you that I was, my mind was thinking, I wondered if his family was granted this special privilege because this Duke had planned to use one of them for this experiment. You know, it's just a thought.
Yes.
But since nobody could tell why they got the privilege, I'm just putting it, my little twist on it. But I just thought it's very interesting. And it was so good to know. You can imagine even traveling from Jamaica to England in those days. I mean, it wasn't a cruise liner like they have now. And
but it was still...
no one knows what his experience was like, you know, on the ship going to go to Cambridge, number two. And while he was there as a student, it never really mentioned how long he stayed, but it did say that apparently he graduated, and then not only, I don't know how many subjects they were teaching at the time, but he also, you know, got classic education that any English gentleman would get. Now, remember, in those days, the working class of England and of, I suppose, all of Europe, were not recognized. They were poor. There are a lot of poor white people, just like they had poor white people in Jamaica. Because one writer mentioned that when he didn't get the job as one of the governor's council, he opened a school, and the governor supported that. But perhaps a lot of the white people didn't send their children there, the rich ones, because of who he was. But they mentioned that poor whites were very impressed that their children could be taught by a Cambridge graduate.
Yeah.
So, you know, the class thing has been going on for ever since eternity, apparently, ever since, I mean... we became literate people, as humans, I mean. There was always one class of people or set of people that thought they were better in some way than the other. And it didn't always have to do with the color of the skin. You know, it was white on white that was being oppressed. So what I really wanted to take from this story, and of course I would like a feedback from some of my people joining the Labrish. I see we have 718-379. If you'd like to join the Labrish, please raise your hands and let me know. And anyone else that might be Skyping in, or I am so glad that we have a listener listening online who called in. And I want to thank her for that, and I want to thank all the rest of the people that are listening online. And I'm going to open up the mic. I see a raised hand. 718-379, your mic is open. Welcome to the Labrish. This is Margaret.
Yeah, here from the Bronx, the home of the New York Yankees.
Yes, thank you. We know that already. You're a regular. Are they still winning?
That is a question I'd like to pass on.
Okay, please pass. So what do you have to contribute?
Well, the thing is that This sounds to me like it might have been a case study in whatever. At the time, there certainly weren't too many people of color going to Cambridge. But,
I should think so.
But a Duke or whatever his name was would certainly have influence to do whatever he wanted. The thing is that, as we are all speculating, what was his motivation?
Of sending him, because he wanted to prove the point. There was a lot of talk then about, as I'm sure, you know, it went on for some time, about whether a black person, if given the opportunity and the education, could absorb it and articulate and become socially accepted. Well, I don't know about socially accepted, but, you know, relate in the same way like a white person.
Yeah, well, don't forget, even in this country, that was the prevailing thought, that the black person was inferior.
Right, definitely. But
when given the opportunity, which they're trying to prove the point, what would the outcome be? So,
right.
It had to be a case study.
Well, it was. Yes, he said it was. The Duke said it. That's the reason he did it.
But why him? That's my.
Well, I am wondering if that's why his family was given the privilege, because it was planned all along, and it would be easier than, I suppose, than taking a slave.
Well, the thing is, in any endeavor, the cream rises to the top, and maybe they saw some potential in this fella, and he would be a good candidate.
Oh, yes. If you're going to pick someone, just like we do now,
yeah.
If there's a scholarship to be awarded, then is the brightest student that's going to get the scholarship.
Yeah,
because at Oxford, I don't care who you are, you have to have some kind of credentials to get in.
Right, right. So the point is that is nothing new. You know, this has been going on for centuries. And I suppose rightly so, because although I think everybody is entitled to the opportunity, and hopefully we will evolve to that one day, not in my lifetime, where every child, regardless of where they are or who they are, they'll have the same privilege to be the best that they can be. You know, it's not every person that has the ability or the desire to go to college. And I don't think that they should be forced to.
Yeah.
But whatever it is that they want to become and be, hopefully it's something that will contribute in a positive way to the society and the world.
Oh, God.
They'll be encouraged and at least have the opportunity to do that. So with that said, I'm going to mention that next week we will be hosting a special show that is helping to do some of that, because the St. Hugh's Old Girls here in Atlanta is having a special event, and they are, you know, they really do a lot for Jamaica and Jamaican students. And I am always encouraging people in the diaspora, even if they have absolutely no intention of going back to Jamaica, but always remember that we can contribute in some way, if not financially, even in encouragement or in enlightenment, or actually in contributing some time to any child. But of course, because we're Jamaicans, we want to make sure that if there's any one that we can help that is from our culture, we reach out and help them, or any organizations that we can help in some way. So with that said, I want to, we have some more time, but I want to really tell my listeners how much I appreciate them. And I am always open for suggestions. I just love history, and the history that I've been able to uncover and enlighten about is really things that have really tweaked my interest that I knew nothing about before. And I'm like a kid with a new toy when I discover something new. And especially when it is intriguing to my mind, I'm trying to put the pieces together and figure out. But what I find, though, that so much of what happened in the past in different situations is like so much of what's happening now. So we can learn from looking into the past, the way things were handled, the way people felt about things. We can learn from that. But underneath it all, you know, we are all humans, and we're having some of the same issues now that they had then. Some of the same issues exist in terms of everybody not having the same opportunity, in terms of the poverty, in terms of people reaching out to other people who are less fortunate. That's what happened in this case, I would say, that the Duke didn't have to do what he did, even if he wanted to do an experiment. He reached out to this man, not only to send him away, but when he came back, he supported him, which I find that to be very noble. Now, I must tell you that there are different versions of how people thought about him. One writer says that he was very pompous. He never treated his parents well, and his slaves, he had slaves too. And, you know, they didn't think that at heart, he was a good person. Another writer spoke of him not really truly knowing what his identity was. You know, he dressed up like an Englishman. He wore the wig of the times. And, you know, I suppose it was hard for him to exist in either world. You know, most of his black peers could not, I suppose, hold a conversation with him at the level he could converse. And perhaps on the white side, he was always judged or, you know, discriminated against. I don't know this for sure. I can just put myself into that situation at the time and figuring, wow, I wish I knew a little more about all of that. And that is why I say, as usual, I'm encouraging, especially, the older Jamaicans, the senior Jamaicans, to not be afraid of the technology we have now in terms of the internet, because like everything else, you can use something for good and you can use it for evil. But they should embrace it. And there's so much to discover. And Dr. Lumsden refers to the internet a lot because, you know, the internet has allowed her to stay in Jamaica, I suppose, and find a lot of things out that she wants to find out about. So, you know, there's so much to learn and so much exciting things to discover that I want to continue to encourage my peers to not shy away from learning. Because, you know, as long as we're breathing, we should be learning. There's always something new and interesting. I don't know how people have time to be bored, because I don't even have enough hours in the day, and I'm up for most of the nights. I think if I had two lifetimes, I still wouldn't cover all the material that I would like to discover. And there is so many of these interesting stories that is on Dr. Lumsden's site alone. And she has links to all over where people have mentioned them or written about them, or she has gotten some of her material from theirs. But I just want to thank everyone again for being in the backyard with me, and to to encourage them to go explore some of this on their own. So if you just Google Dr. Lumsden's pages and get there, this particular story is at on the all my pages at the History Month of 2007. You see how long that has been on the internet? And I don't know about anybody that is listening to me, if anyone know of any of that material that she has on our website. But I am just discovering it, and it's now 2:10. So I'm way behind the clock. And there are a whole lot of other really great stories to share. And this particular story has a lot of, you know, other details that I'm not able to give this evening. Number one, my throat is about to close up on me. But again, I encourage my listeners to go and discover it themselves. And I, when I get a chance, I'll be talking, you know, and filling in the blanks as I come across them. But several writers have written about this particular man, and I think it's worth your time to just research it. And if anyone knows, if any graduate of Cambridge was aware of this Jamaican student who was there ahead of them in 1716, I would love to know. So unless someone else on the board have some comments, anyone? All your mics are open, 301, 631, and 718. Well, you all have open mics.
Could you mention this guy's name again, James Williams?
Hold on. You don't have your promo
No, the reason I'm saying that is I am on the internet and I'm looking at a page by another James Williams about 1819.
You mean about another James Williams?
Yeah. And which is not unusual.
Francis Williams.
Oh, Francis. Okay.
Huh?
All right.
It's Francis Williams.
Francis. No, because this fella here is he's an apprenticed laborer in Jamaica around the early 1800s, and he's talking about his genealogy and what he and some of his contemporaries suffered under the masters, so to speak, the masa, in those times. So
right.
Interesting stuff, which of course we weren't privy to before.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll be bringing them in the out in the backyard, interspersed between some of the current stuff. And I want to really thank my listeners for being here with me and the support that I've gotten, and I'm really getting a lot of support. And I think there are just a lot of people, perhaps quite a few people, that are as curious as I am. And also, I want to just tell everybody how I am really grateful that I was born and raised in Jamaica. And I personally do not have a desire to go back to Jamaica to retire. I did at one time. But I must be honest with you, not now. I am quite comfortable as a citizen of the U.S., and I consider myself a citizen of the world, but my roots are in Jamaica, and I love and appreciate my history and will continue to celebrate it, to help, hopefully, to enlighten the rest of the world about some of our history, and hopefully preserve as much as I can. And with that said, I want to tell our listeners that all of the shows that have been done, and I have been doing the shows a year and a half now, are archived. So if you go to the Blog Talk site, you will just There are some information. It's categorized by month. You know, from I started in I think November, year before last, And you can go into any month and you will see the list of shows that was done in that four-week period. And you can click on that and just listen to that show. Now, if you believe that that particular show will be of interest to anybody on your email list, you can copy the URL, paste it into your email, send it to them, and they can click on that show and listen to that show in particular. We hope that they'll enjoy it enough that they'll come back again or listen to other shows. But, you know, you can send any show that you think may be of interest. And, of course, we encourage you to visit us at backyardlabrish.com. We do have a website. And from there, you can send me a comment or a question. I think you can do it on the Blog Talk site also. And I'd love to know from one of our listeners, online listeners, how much interaction you have, because I've not been there, so I don't know. I'm always on the air. I'm not on the, you know, where you click on the computer, so I don't know how it operates. And, of course, I'm an old lady. I'm not very techie. I can use the phone and, you know, wing my way with the switchboard here. But other than that, I'm not very techie, as they call it now. But I do have a love and a passion for history in particular, and my culture is number one. And any help that I can get to clarify or add to anything that I discuss is greatly appreciated. So if any of my listeners see any material that they think they would like to share with me, please do. And you can send that to backyardlabrish@bellsouth.net or backyardlabrish@yahoo.com. So any of those, you can just send me a little note and let me know what you think or what you'd like to hear. And with that said, I am going to be saying good night and to tell my listeners on the board, if you want to make a last comment, do so now because we have a few more minutes. Anybody want to say something?
Yes, Margaret, I'd like to say something.
Sure.
Would you tell
who you
are
again?
In the Bronx, that the Orioles won yesterday 5-4, and today the Yankees are winning 6-1. So.
Oh!
Hey. Now, Margaret, you can ask me the question again then.
All right. Where are you from, sir?
Yankees winning.
All right. Okay. And who was that listener again?
Never yet.
Have you been listening from Maryland?
Yes, I'm listening from Maryland. And I have never tried to listen to click to talk on the computer. And if you want me to try it now, I will. But who knows?
Yes, I'm not sure how it operates because I've never been there.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I know when I had a co-host, she could interact, or I know someone that has a show that has a co-host who interacts with people in the chat room.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've never been to a chat room, so I don't even know how that operates. But anyway, I mean, I just think the technology is really great, as the kids say now, cool.
Yeah, cool, man, cool.
Yeah, cool. So, you know, we seniors folks need to get a little cool. And I just think that a lot of the seniors tend to be apprehensive about using the Internet. But I just find it fun, exciting, interesting. And, of course, the older we get is the more things we need to open our minds to because it does keep us active.
You have no idea how active I am.
Ah!
I won't even begin to tell you.
Oh, well, why don't you tell us? The Labrish
is
going on.
No. I just
We'd love to know.
I'm here, there, and everywhere. I drive to Canada all by myself, and I'm your age, Margaret. We won't
really
talk about that and say how old we are. It's just how young we feel, you know.
Right, right, right. Well, I look forward to hearing you again, and perhaps one of these days we'll have a backyard get-together.
Yes,
in-person get-together.
That would be fantastic.
Right, right. I'm thinking about it. So who knows, you know. I must tell my listeners that I'm getting emails from people sending me clips from China. I have a listener who listens from India.
Oh.
And she sends an email now and then. Yes, yeah, so we have listeners all over. And one of
my past guests
on the show shared with me that she has a cousin in Sweden, and he sent her information on the show. I mean, she knows about the show. She's been a guest. But instead of she sending it to him, he sent it to her. She have no idea how he came by it, so someone must have sent it to him.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how the word is getting around. But may I ask you if you were familiar with any of the information we discussed today?
No, I'm not. I really am not.
Oh, okay. Because I just wondered if I was the one that was sort of in the closet and just come. Oh, no, I shouldn't use that. But
no,
you know what I mean.
That word.
No, we have to be careful. Things that used to be, you know, general conversation now could imply something else. But what I meant is, you know, I was sort of in the darkness, and
yes.
Now I'm coming into the light.
Yes.
Because all of this information is there.
Yes, it's all there. And when you have that Bachelor Lavish get-together, please don't hold any ladies' hands, because they will take that wrong, too.
You know, that's right. We live in a different age.
Yes.
But, you know, we just have to be open and entertain and tolerate everybody, even if it's not our thing.
Right, right.
But I don't want to be misquoted or misunderstood.
Uh-huh.
Because it's interesting, you know, because I did, one of the early shows I did was on intercultural relationships and how people from one culture that may be accustomed to do certain things,
uh-huh.
like, you know, a gesture or a phrase,
yes.
that maybe mean one thing in your culture, but if you use that same gesture or phrase in another culture, it could mean something opposite.
Right.
And you could be branded
yes.
one way or the other.
Well, frankly, I don't care. I do what I please.
Right. I know. I think
except
I did it just the time that Usain Bolt had made that gesture when he won, and some
yes.
people thought that he was disrespectful to the other competitors.
Yes.
And he was just being himself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, you're perfectly right.
So what that show was about is how people need to be to learn and be open and not be judgmental,
uh-huh.
or ask if you don't know.
Uh-huh.
So I encourage that, you know, that if someone sees something that they might find they don't understand,
uh-huh.
I think that just like the good book say, you gotta ask.
Yes.
You know, what did you mean by that? Or is that something negative? I mean, what should I understand if you don't understand it?
Right.
Instead of just judging it to be something other than what it may be. Because I know the point I was trying to make about that show is I gave a couple of instances when I came here in 1959 how I was misunderstood.
Yes.
And that show happened to get a lot of hits.
Yes.
When I, you know, the platform Blog Talk gives stats on how many people, how many times a particular show has been downloaded.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So when a show is listened to, you're not a caller. You don't call in, but you listen to the show online.
Yes.
That is what a download is. They regard it as a download. And I did not expect for that show to really get that many hits. I was really surprised. So I gathered from that people could relate to it, even people
yes.
from other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I remember when I went to Madrid, I stayed in a bed and breakfast just to see how the average person lived and how people interacted in their neighborhoods. And I was, as I looked at the people going about their business, I saw so many things that would be considered a different thing if it was here in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, people were very touchy there. They held
yeah.
hands. And I know that, you know, I, especially as a teenager when I was growing up, and even now, I tend to withhold
yes.
my girlfriend's hands if we're walking on the street and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now people could judge that perhaps is another reason.
Uh-huh, yeah, but in Canada, that's exactly how they are. You know, we hold each other's hands and we throw our arms around each other. It is,
uh-huh.
you know, Jamaican style. Well, it's British, you know, it's under the British monarchy. And but it would be misunderstood here if I went out to dinner with a girlfriend this evening and I was away, you know, I kept her at arm's length. Generally, we are holding hands and stuff like that, but now I don't do that anymore here.
I know, you could be branded, huh?
Yes.
Interesting. Anyway, I really appreciate
you
calling me in and helping me out here so I know that everything was working when I wasn't.
Yes.
And with that said, I want to to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and the objective of Backyard Labrish is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And with that said, I want to bid you good night and invite you to come back next week because we're going to have a juicy Labrish.
Okay, Margaret, looking forward to it.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night.